Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mash here on the Jaybird Watching Gamecast. So, the Blue Jays win one on Facebook yesterday against the Atlanta Braves, who have been doing nothing but mow over all Major League Baseball teams and now have a 43-30 record. The Blue Jays stand at 34-39 after the win. Squeak this one out. A just ridiculous start from Jay Happ was unfortunately almost lost in this one as the Blue Jays just managed to squeak out the Braves 5-4. So let's talk about Jay Happ. The often mentioned in all trade rumors for the Toronto Blue Jays, Jay Happ went 8 1/3 in this one and just continued to be the most consistent part of the Toronto Blue Jays. 6 hits, 4 earned runs, 8 strikeouts with no walks, allowing 2 home runs. Now, those 2 home runs were to Kurt Suzuki, who had 20 home runs last year, and then Peter Borges, who had been a ninth spot addition in this lineup, as the Braves currently are juggling outfielders. So, anyways, obscene start. 8 1/3, like I mentioned. That's just typical for Jay Happ, it seems like, but longest outing he's had in a long time, as he picks up his 9th win of the season, is now 9-3 with a 3.56 ERA and continuing to rack up the strikeouts. So I can see why there's so many Major League Baseball teams interested in his services for the remainder of the season. I think if the Blue Jays are going to be trading Jay Happ, which would be great, I think, because they could get some good pieces, they should be getting a solid Major League-ready prospect for Jay Happ with how good he's been pitching this season, and just period as a Toronto Blue Jay. And then he'll be a free agent at the end of the season, and I hope the Blue Jays have good groundwork on the possible free agent signing of him, because he'd be a nice addition to the what could be a very different-looking 2019 lineup that could really do some damage. And I think he'd be the icing on the cake, the veteran in a rotation that really could do this and make this 2019 team very interesting. There will be a South of the Six article just about that in the very near future. I've kind of put what to your 2019 Toronto Blue Jays lineup would be right now before all the trades, and we'll discuss that. So, offensively, Kendrys Morales, his 35th birthday, decided to celebrate with some nice fashion as he trotted around the bases for his 6th home run of the season, a 2-run blast in the first inning. It was also his 4th home run on his birthday throughout his career. I thought that was an interesting stat. He always seems to dial it up on his birthday. He is currently batting .232 after an abysmal start to his season. Another 2-for-3 performance with 2 runs scored and a pair of RBIs. Randall Grichuk continues to be successful, an RBI double in this one, continuing to watch that batting average climb ever so slowly, but a very solid performance for him since rejoining the team after his injuries. Lesmus Diaz also picked up a 2 hits with an RBI, and then Younger Solarte picking up an RBI single as well. So that accounts for all of your Toronto Blue Jays runs. 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position, which is actually a lot better than they've been doing lately, so I'm happy with that. I'm a little surprised that Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has not gotten into this lineup yet. I know Lesmus Diaz has been doing well lately, but Gurriel was completely lighting the International League on fire at the time of his promotion for Sam Gaviglio that was put on fraternity league. So when 34-39 is trying to get back to 500, I think they really can't do. So they'll be hitting the road all the way to Los Angeles. He's going to look to improve 5.35 ERA. So we'll see what happens. That's how the Angels is. If they do, for some reason, actually have a wild card shot, this is the team they're going to probably have to go through. So let's hope they steal some from the Angels. Now for your farm report. The minor league system had some issues, at least at the AAA level, yesterday as the Pawtucket Red Sox mowed right over the Buffalo Bisons as they slowed the herd, who had been doing very well lately. This 10-2 loss for the Buffalo Bisons had zero offense outside of Danny Jansen, and it was just not enough to keep them moving. Nick Tepish got off to a horrible start, 2 2/3, 4 earned runs, 5 of them total, 6 hits, 4 walks, just could not get anything going for him, and this start And honestly, in my opinion, he belongs back in Double A New Hampshire. There's plenty of other arms I think that could have came up to make this start for the Bisons, and I just think Nick Tepish was a waste of a start. Luis Santos would also allow two runs, one earned, in his two and a third. Albuquerque allowed three. At least Santos struck out six in his outing. Tim Mazza would end up finally coming in the seventh and eighth and leveling the ship. Didn't allow any base runners and struck out a batter. So Danny Jansen, 2 for 4 with his fifth home run in the ninth inning, finally breaking through for the offense in this one. And the two-run blast, as I mentioned, was his fifth of the season. Anthony Alford went 1 for 3 with a stolen base, and that was the only other hit for the Buffalo Bisons, as they just had three of this. Could not get the offense going to match up against the Pawtucket Red Sox, and unfortunately, they're saddled with the loss. The New Hampshire Fisher Cats took a slugfest into the 10th inning as they won 10-9 against the Erie Sea Dogs. And it was, or Sea Wolves, I'm sorry. But it's just insane amount of offense. There's very little successes on the mound for both teams in this. Josh DeGraff had to start for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats and allowed 5 hits over four innings, allowing 5 earned runs, which included a pair of homers. So a little rough start for Josh DeGraff, who needs to settle in a little bit, I think, because his ERA is getting slightly ridiculous at 7.27. Nick Hartman would come in and allow four hits and another run. Jose Fernandez allowed 1 run in his 2 innings. Zach Jackson allowed 1-2. So you can see a trend here. Eventually, Andrew Case would come in. A run was allowed while he was on the mound, but no earned runs, and he was able to pick up his 5th save in the 10th. So let's talk offense. First things first, Connor Panis opened up the scoring in the game with a 2-run home run. On a deep fly to right field, and that really started off the offense. Moving along to the third inning, things continued for the Chat. Juan Kelly followed with a hold that strategy, and Andrew Guillot would end up standing with a fly that scored Harold Ramirez. Then the offense continued in the fifth, where Andrew Guillot reached on an error that scored Connor Panis for another 3 runs, which put the top 5 at the time. The Seawolves would chip away at that lead, and scored on that single, and then John Burke scored on another double. So the journeyman that keeps coming back always to find a way to tribute to this team is John Birdie does, and he's batting in the leadoff spot right now with another 1-for-5 performance and batting 3-10 minutes. Bo Bichette, 2-for-6, as we had mentioned, had a double. One score, Kevin Bichette continued to get another run scored. One for 3 runs. Kelly made offense, 2 for 3 RBIs, 2 runs scored. And Connor Panis, the start of his offense, 3 RBIs, 3 runs scored, and the home runs we had mentioned. We turn wheel and further extra fair for the evening, just St. Louis Cardinals is it. So, just another offensive force is all the drama. Jacob didn't quite make it in. He became the all at least once. Eduard Pinto, he was the fourth offensive 2-4 with 3 RBIs, unscored, and picked up a second home run with 3 runs in the third inning. Nash, who hits probably down the line right now for the lead, 1-for-3 RBI. And that was pretty much the offense. So, they get the decision at all. Some hits 3 runs, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. He's been doing two strikeouts. And that would be pretty much it. Molina finally picking up a solid performance for the New Hampshire, or the Dunedin Jays in a letting in 5-4 of the Lucy Mets. Lance Bunnett's first up until today, where they'll pick their post-all game. Performance on the road, the Ivy Blooms. It was a great performance for the Missouri team the other night. And I missed the show yesterday. I'm going to go into this really quick. Kevin Cunha, the Lansing Lugnuts, second baseman slash shortstop, picked up 3-4 score run. And unfortunately, Chavez Dunn, the only other Lansing Lugnut that started, went 0-4. On the 40th, the starting Nassau Kislopes, they didn't want to extra pair. And that would be it, as the East wins it 2-3 an extra inning. So, very good game for the star game, as hosted by the Lugnuts. Good fun stuff. So, everybody, We are going to have another live show here on Sunday. Again, as the Blue Jays take on the Los Angeles Angels. And nobody's been announced for who's going to be on the mound for that game, but Adam Corsair and I will be with you to bring you all the fun and action. We're going to have a few guests from jaysjournal.com and some other places all over the web. And I hope you all join us. Don't forget to hit those subscribe buttons wherever it may be. I guess we're on Google Podcasts now as well, all of a sudden, because that's a thing. And, yeah, it's continuing to grow. Hopefully we'll be on Spotify soon. If you're looking for tickets in Canada for any kind of event, make sure you hit up seatgiant.ca and use the code JBIRD, and you'll be able to get a small discount. And hopefully you'll be able to see a really good game or whatever you're going to see. So, once again, this has been Craig Borden with you here on the Morning Mash. I hope you all enjoy your Thursday, and let's go Blue Jays!